Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio. What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
Yes, your man, Professor X Factor. Please take out your textbooks and take a seat and close your mouth because class is in session.
Hey, and ladies and gentlemen, if you hear that noise in the background, just please excuse me. My man Professor's out there working, doing big things, making moves. So we're going to have probably a little bit of background noise, though. But, you know, he tried to tell them to shut the hell up, though, but they won't listen. But, you know, nah, that goes sometimes. But, yo, thank you for tuning in to episode 31 of Locker Room Talk Radio, bringing you the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call is 858-777-8433. Make sure when you call into the show, make sure you press one on your mobile device, and we will let you through. A lot of things has been going on over the weekend, man. First of all, before here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up with this show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it, Damn. I got so excited, I forgot to even explain it to y'all. Man, week one of the NFL season, man. A lot of crazy games, man. A lot of crazy things going on. Some people already hurt. Some hurt for the season. Some projected to come back. A lot of blowouts. A lot of damn blowouts. A couple surprises. We still got two more games this evening. Then week one will conclude. Let me go ahead and get to these picks. First of all, Professor, let me get to the picks that we picked last week to come to today. Right. So I got 9 picks correct so far. You got 9 picks correct so far. And Executive got 7 picks correct so far. He's down by 2. The crazy game, and everybody's at a tie, because Arizona and Detroit had a tie. So everybody got that one. That's the one that was crazy, because Arizona was getting their ass handed to them, and then they came back. Even with the boy Kyler Murray having a terrible first half, they came back and they did something. But, you know, that's either here or there. But we're going to start off with this. Because the reason why I want to start this off, because I don't want to take up too much time, because there's a lot of other things that we're going to talk about. But Odell Beckham Jr., come to find out, me and Professor was talking about the story, which he actually did violate the league rule. It is a league rule, Professor, that you can't wear nothing hard on the field. Now, I read a report earlier saying that his watch was worth $250,000. Now, NFL.com is claiming that his watch was worth $350,000. Either which way it goes, it's a lot of damn money for an accessory.
Expensive-ass watch.
Exactly. Expensive-ass watch. The star wide receiver was sported a Richard Mille. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I ain't a rich, you know, guy or no watch connoisseur, so I don't know if I'm saying it wrong or not. Probably somebody laughing at me tomorrow. Look at him. You don't even know how to pronounce the proper name. You damn right I don't. Because I'm not spending $350,000 on no damn watch. I don't care how much money I have. That's the target. But anyway, the accessory was valued at $350,000. He says it violated a legal rule that prohibits wearing hard objects on the field. So, it is a rule, because we was talking about that earlier. So, you know, we want to know, was it actually in the rule book, as far as could he wear it or could he not wear it. But my thing is, you know, before I let you say what you got to say, Professor, at the end of the day, I care less if he could wear it or couldn't wear it. Let's just say that he could wear it. I'm just not wearing a $300,000 watch on the football field just to floss, man. And, you know, a lot of people would say, just like you said earlier, I don't think he cares with the money that he's making. But, you know, to me, I just think it's a sense. It's senseless act, no matter how much money he has. $350,000 is still $350,000. And at the end of the day, I could find something else. That's a damn car. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got a car on his wrist playing on football Sunday in the damn middle of the football field. Some shit is just, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's just not logical. To that, you say what? You got the floor.
I don't give a damn how much the watch costs. He ain't allowed to wear a watch. He ain't allowed to wear a watch. It wouldn't matter.
Absolutely.
If the watch was $5 or if the watch was $50,000.
Right.
Shouldn't have had the goddamn watch on. Like, I don't give a shit how much the watch costs.
Right.
It's his money, shit.
Yeah,
I wish I had it. Yeah,
I wish,
you know.
Man, I would pour it, man. Shit. I would, man. I hear you on that one. I hear you on that one.
Yeah.
Before we go further, man, I just want to give a shout out to our brother, man. He's great. You know what I'm saying? Out there, he might come on the show later on today, but he has some personal things he had to take care of, though. But we here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we miss you, and we hope to hear from you real soon. You know what I'm saying? Handle your business, man. Up and love. But, yeah, I just, like I said, I would not. It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, I guess this is just the immaturity in certain players. And I guess it's just an age thing. You know what I mean? Because it's just, for what? For what? And you said, I can give a damn $50,000. You can't wear it, you can't wear it. It just, it seems odd to me. Like I said, you can wear things, you can wear earrings, because, you know, a lot of players wear earrings and things to hold it. That's something different. But to walk around with a damn watch, I get it. Well, anyway. Antonio Brown, ladies and gentlemen, moving right along, is the focal point of everybody's weekend talks in the National Football League. He decided to act a plum fool, and now he's out of Oakland, and now he's with the damn New England Patriots. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a guy on this line right now who told me, you know, he said, wouldn't it be funny if Antonio Brown happened to go to the New England Patriots, and me and my other brother, Kane, shout out to my man, Coach Kane, we were sitting there talking to him. We said, man, I don't know. You know, it could happen, and I don't think it would. I just don't think that Belichick would even want to entertain that type of antic, blah, blah, blah. And I promise you, an hour later, his ass gets signed with the Patriots, and this dude, Professor X-Factor, got his chest pumped out and calls himself Nostradamus.
Nostradamus. It's a pleasure for you to meet me.
It's a pleasure for you to meet me.
My name is Nostradamus.
So, Antonio Brown goes, now, let's give a backstory. I mean, well, let's give the backstory for those who don't know, okay? Antonio Brown once was a Pittsburgh Steeler. We know that. He went over to the services to Oakland. Okay, he went over there, acted a plum fool in Oakland about a helmet. The Oakland Raiders, they supported him about his helmet endeavors, and that wasn't good enough, and blah, 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 blah. And he got into it with the GM, Mr. Mike Mayock. He got into it with him because he got fined for missing practice. He missed mandatory practice. He missed walkthroughs. He got fined close to, what was it, Professor, $52,000? Was it $52,000?
No, it was $252,000, 70-some-odd dollars and 53 cents. They fined him the exact amount of money that they needed to fine him to legally void his guaranteed money out of his contract.
Right, to pretty much try to get rid of him. Now, a lot of people will say that's a setup. It probably was a setup to find him the exact amount so they can get the hell up out of there. At the end of the day, I'm going to tell you like this. I love Antonio Brown. I said it on the last show. I wish this dude was called the hell down. I'm pulling for him the whole nine. But when somebody's getting on your goddamn nerves, I don't care what loophole you can use to get them the hell up out of here, that's what you're going to do. Everybody is going to do that. Nobody's exempt. So at the end of the day, for those out there, oh, well, you just did that because you want to, you know what, I could care less. So what? So what? If you ain't acting right, you damn right. I'm going to find every loophole I can to get your ass up out of here. Now, that being said, at the end of the day, he got what he wanted. But me and Professor was having a little conversation, and shout out to my daughter-in-law, Miss T.C. Carter. We was talking about this as well. Is Antonio Brown crazy? Or you think he staged this whole thing to get the hell up out of Oakland because he wanted to be a Patriot in the first place? Professor X Factor, you got the floor. Your thoughts.
If he is, in fact, a idiot savant of some kind, and he pulled this entire fucking thing off, it would make him a genius. A couple of photographs I saw, one video showed Antonio Brown jumping up and down, dancing, running around, smiling, cheesing, calling his grandmama. He was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that out of Antonio Brown when he was on his way to Oakland.
Gotcha. Do your favorite, Professor, if you can. Just speak up a little bit, man.
Yeah. That wasn't what we saw out of Antonio Brown when he was on his way to Oakland. So then, second thing was the photograph they took of him. I guess he was on his way leaving the Raiders facility.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody snapped a picture of him. And when they were getting ready to snap the picture, he looked at him, smiled, and pointed to the side of his head like, "I'm smarter than you think." Type
of shit. I'm smarter than you think I am. I got you.
You know what I mean? And
right.
But I wonder if I wonder if the already preconceived notion of who Antonio Brown is in the eyes of the media and in the eyes of other NFL fans and organizations helped facilitate the decision to release him. Tell you what I mean.
Okay.
So you're already viewing Antonio Brown as a problem because of what happened to him.
Okay, Professor, you sound far away, baby. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're doing, but you sound far away. Go ahead. Try it one more time.
Hold on. I'm wondering if the already preconceived notion by media and other NFL teams helped facilitate this move that it looks like Antonio Brown kind of mapped out. If I'm running a team and I think you're a problem, it's not going to take a whole lot for me to get rid of you. And let's be honest. He was still in fairly decent standing when he filed his grievance about his helmet. He still ended up going to Oakland after he sabotaged the Buffalo trade, which I quite honestly don't fucking blame him. It's Buffalo. Nobody wants to go to Buffalo.
Nobody wants to go there. Absolutely.
And then for him to end up leaving Oakland the way he did, because he filed his grievance for his helmet, he was still in good standing. After that, it took him using a racial epithet in order to get booted off of that team.
And I was going to touch on
that. Of physical violence. Right?
Yep,
so
I was going to touch on that. Go ahead.
That gets him released less than an hour after being released. He is on his way to New England. Less than an hour. Because the move to get Antonio Brown to New England was being made before ESPN or any other media news outlet announced that he had been released.
Gotcha. Right.
That New England was already moving to get him. Which makes me wonder, and I'm sure it makes everybody else wonder because of New England's, history of cheating and whatnot, New England tampered with Antonio Brown or with his situation in Oakland in order to facilitate Antonio Brown being released. Problem with that is that you're going to have to prove it.
I got you.
And I don't think anybody's going to be able to do that.
Right. But at the end of the day, you're right. You got to prove it, but people are still going to wonder that. And I think a lot of people get upset because and I'm glad you said that, because some people don't think like that. They don't think rightfully so. They think, because I did it in the past. No, I don't want to hear that.
No,
not you. I'm just saying.
But New England got caught. Like, you know what I mean? Now, granted, there were some instances where New England didn't get caught and still got punished.
I got you.
However,
hold that thought.
We
got a caller on the line that want to come through. Caller from 609, area code. You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller. You on the air? You want to speak? Okay. Caller don't want to speak. Okay. Goodbye. Oh, I know who that is. You know what? Stop messing around on my line. I ain't going to put him out there, but stop messing around my line. Don't be pressing one if you're not going to speak. I'll get to you after the show.
Yeah, but that's what I think. That's what I think about that situation. You know what I mean? Now, whether or not Antonio Brown remains a behaved individual or not while he's there, that remains to be seen. We can speculate all day, but if we say that he's not going to be behaved because of what he did in the past 6 months, that to me is a bullshit argument, because he spent the previous 7 years in no trouble of any kind. He spent 7 years without getting into any major trouble with the organization of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So maybe being in a building where championships have become a tradition is going to be different for him. The argument was made between Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless that people say that, well, now Antonio didn't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Shannon Sharpe said, well, he didn't have a chance to win the Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. He did not. He didn't. Pittsburgh has a good team. They don't have a Super Bowl caliber team. Haven't had one in years since Jerome Bettis was there. So, no. He was not going to win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. They wouldn't have beat Kansas City. They can't beat New England. And clearly right now, this year, it don't look like they can do shit with Baltimore. So, no, he was not going to win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh.
Well, okay, well, let me say this real quick, so you can go ahead and finish your statement. But let me just put this in there. They did beat New England last year in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but it's not like
it's impossible. Was it in the playoffs?
I'm sorry?
Was it in the playoffs?
It wasn't in the playoffs. No. That's not what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter.
What I'm about to say. This is what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say is this. At the time when they had Lev Bell, if they had handled that situation better, they could have possibly beat the Patriots at that time. But we'll never know. You know what I mean? We'll never. So I guess maybe that's what Shannon Sharpe is trying to allude to. But I'm with you on the statement that you said. I don't know if they had enough firepower to do that, but at the time when they had Lev Bell, and if they handled that situation right with Antonio Brown situation, there's a possibility that they might have beat them, but we'll never know now. But now, AB's a damn Patriot, so I guess it really doesn't matter. But
doesn't
go
matter.
Ahead. I'm sorry. So I just want to
put matter.
That.
Like, my thing is, like, and here's the thing. Antonio Brown pulled an NDA moving the NFL. That's what I think he did. I think he pulled a LeBron James in the NFL. And
okay.
The thing that's strange about it is that in the NBA, you got people out here that don't see a single thing wrong with what LeBron James did in the NBA. But if Antonio Brown does it in the NFL, everybody and their mama is going to do this shit. Just keep watching. Wait till they play Miami.
I got you. But, I mean, you know, Miami's kind of unfair, though, Professor. Let me say why I say that. Because we already know they're going to beat them regardless.
They're horrible.
They'd be all without AB. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you really don't get a cookie for that. Because, I mean, shit. I mean, to a degree, because you're still NFL team. But at the same time, like, you know, they usually split with them. We know that. They give me fits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Blah, 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 blah.
No matter
blah.
How horrible Miami is,
makes
usually, no matter how horrible Miami is, you usually split games with them.
Right. I mean, but, you know, like I said, at this point in time, it's early season. It don't really mean shit. So even if they did lose, oh, well, y'all still ain't going nowhere. Anyway, so, I mean, I get it, though. You know what? At the end of the day, man, like I said, if AB wants to be happy in New England, and I said it before, you know, and that's why I made myself perfectly clear. I said, look, at the end of the day, the way you handle shit, man, regardless of what your intent is, perception is everything. It doesn't matter what you know. Yeah, I get it. You're smarter than what you look like and all that type of shit. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I had to really sit down and think about it after the fact. But you can't get mad at motherfuckers that look at you a certain way and then say, oh, see, I told you I thought it was a crazy. But, I mean, it's human nature. I mean, shit, you do it to people, too. So, I mean, you got to expect it.
And that's the thing that's crazy, Gary. That's the part that's crazy. He knows. He can't be dumb enough to not know that people are going to look at him funny. But
I hope not.
If
right,
he knows people
you.
Are going to look at him, if he knows that people are going to look at him funny, it makes me wonder, did you do it knowing what was coming? I mean, I wonder whether or not, in terms of the collusion, I don't even necessarily think it was a Belichick calling Antonio. I think Antonio might have called Belichick and said something, and Belichick might have said, look here, I can't talk to you until you get released. You got to get released first. Without telling him to get himself released. And then I think Antonio probably might have picked this shit from there. I could think more of a possibility.
Right. And guess what? Like you said, look, at the end of the day, if I could find a loophole, like I said, this shit don't stop with the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? The Patriots can use it too, no matter how. And yeah, they got caught back in the day doing some shit. They got a history of being, you know, doing bad shit behind closed doors or whatever. But like I said, what's good for one is good for another. If the Oakland Raiders can find a loophole to get his ass up out of here, because at the end of the day, going back to what you were talking about, look, you can't go around here calling people racist brothers, man, and still continue to be on the team. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
Because at the end of the day, if it was the other way around,
I take that back.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But we've already had that situation because Richie Incognito did it and kept his job.
Hey, I feel you on that. No, I feel you on that. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. It's different between a player and saying to a GM. That's what I'm saying. Either which way is wrong. You know what I mean? But you can't say that to the person who is, I hate to use the word boss. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
that's pretty
but
much
the deal. It was the 2000s when Richie Incognito did his shit. There's no way he should have been allowed to stay on that roster.
Absolutely. No, I'm going to say it again. I agree with you. All I'm saying is that when you look at difference between player to player and player to GM, that's a totally different
scenario.
Well,
yeah, because the player doesn't have the authority to find
exactly.
Like the GM does.
Exactly. And that's what my point was. Doesn't make
you know
it right.
But yeah, I get that point, but nobody backed up that player. And you and
right.
I both know why nobody backed up that player.
Absolutely. 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 So at the end of the day, if the Patriots found a loophole to tell Antonio Brown to take his ass over there across up there to get some clam chowder, I can't be mad at it. You know what I'm saying? As long as they confide by the rules or whatever. I mean, hey, sometimes you can throw hints out there, man, and even though you're like, no, you know what the fuck you did? Yeah, okay, nobody cares. Did you or did you? You know what I'm saying? Did you tamper with this dude? But if you didn't, you got to prove it. I'm with you 1,000%, Professor. Even though I don't like the team you're going to, but I agree 1,000%. Oh, okay. Yo, I got to ask you, man. I got to ask you. Everybody was talking about this. There's two games we got to discuss, man, before we go into what we're going to. Hold on for a second. Ladies and gentlemen, I think our brother is back on the mic. I'm not mistaken, man. This is our brother, man, NYC Chef's Finest. My man, Executive Q Drayford on the mic. Is this my brother?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
What's going on, baby? How you feeling? Tell the world how you feeling, man. How you doing?
Well, I'm here.
That's okay. Absolutely.
I feel like my brother Kevin Hart right now.
Okay.
Recovering and surviving.
I got you. Hey, man, we just sitting here talking about these damn things that's happened over the weekend, man. And first of all, I just want to tell you, glad to hear your voice. You know what I mean? Glad to talk to you earlier, but glad to hear your voice on the radio show, man. Everything is everything.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. But just to let you know,
hey, you cut that gay shit out.
What the hell are you talking about?
Pause.
What the hell are you talking about? Man, if you don't...
Y'all need a moment?
Man, shut the hell up, man. Don't make me come through here.
You can't come through here. You're too fat.
Whatever. Hey, just to let you know, executive, you are two games behind me and Professor. Me and Professor are at 9 apiece. You are at 7. So it can shift later on.
Well, hold on now. See, I had to put mine in early, like an election vote.
Here we go.
Like an absentee ballot.
Exactly. I was not privy to the same information about shit that was going down before y'all got to put y'all shit in. So I just want to know that there's a 2-stroke handicap on my scorecard.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
So if I'm behind by 2, then we going into the playoffs to break that metaphorical tie.
Oh, Lord, I'm
running. I ain't that much out of it.
He's not going to accept. Yeah, he's back.
Exactly.
He's not going to accept.
No, because you're talking about I'm 2 behind both of y'all. So both of y'all got the same record? Okay.
Oh, man, you know what, man. I was trying to inform you, brother.
And I appreciate you, and I feel informed. And now I'm responding to the information that you informed me about.
Oh, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, he is completely 100% back.
I'm about 98% back because I'm behind 2.
Well, let me ask you this, executive, before I move on, man. What's your take about this Antonio Brown saga, man? Go ahead.
And technically, I'm only 1 game behind because even I knew the Giants was gonna lose that game. I just can't vote against them. So that's one of the 2, right there. That's one of the 2. Shit.
Yeah, I'm not even a Giants fan, and I'm not happy about that shit. But I'm not upset with the Cowboys. I'm upset with the Giants.
Oh, and I'm not even upset with the Giants. I'm upset with the coaching because there's about 8 people that should have never been on the field when they were on the field. And there's about 6 people that was on sidelines and special teams that should have been on the damn field.
But go ahead, Executive AB.
It's been a coaching problem since you didn't spend the money on Josh McDaniels or Bill Cowher, and you said, yeah, Shermer's our guy because he's a professional. Okay, so he fits the suit, and that's what makes him better than McAdoo? Get the fuck out of here. I'm on medication, so I'm a curse. Go ahead, what was the question?
AB, what's your thoughts about this whole AB situation?
CD.
Huh?
What, you said AB, I said CD. what's my thoughts on it?
Yes.
Which part? All of it?
All of it. Anything that you want. Okay, let me say this, because we were talking about it before you got on the line. AB leaving from Oakland, going to the New England Patriots so fast. Pretty much they dropped him, and he got picked up at the same time. Now, me and Professor
right,
were talking
because
about,
that's what the plan was. He manufactured that.
And that's what we were talking about. So your thoughts. Go ahead, man. You got it. Go ahead.
Oh, ain't no thoughts. I know the truth, so I ain't got no thoughts.
Okay, explain the truth to my
thoughts.
Listeners.
Shit. Look. He never wanted to go to Oakland, but because Oakland wasn't the first deal to fall through, he knew he also didn't want to stay in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So,
not you.
After using his first Trump card, no pun intended, in order to
in the Buffalo trade to
in
avoid
order
going
to
a Buffalo.
Cancel a Buffalo trade. Then there's only so many times you can use that Trump card to avoid going to another team because you're either saying, well, I'm not mad at Pittsburgh that much, or I no longer want to play football, or I'm ready to be traded. You can only say one of three things. There is no fourth option. So you've already so the other thing is 25 teams can't afford you. So when you take out Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh takes out New England, and you take out Buffalo, there are now only four other teams for you to go to. Because 25 of them can't afford you.
That warmed my soul. That warmed my soul more than anything. Because, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because when I initially made the statement in a post on Facebook, on this Facebook page called the AFC North Facebook page, and I said, wouldn't it be hilarious if Antonio Brown went to New England and destroyed Pittsburgh in Week One? And granted, he wasn't eligible to play in Week One. However, he's still a New England Patriot. So everybody was like, well, New England doesn't have the cap space. They don't have the cap space. They don't have the cap space.
Well, they did just cut two guys today, just to let you know.
When they signed him, I immediately went back on that page and I said, but cap space. I know them sons of bitches was mad as hell at me. I don't care. Hello, I am no. Call me Negro Domus. Negro Domus.
That's exactly what he said. I was like, wow. But you know, me and my daughter-in-law, shout out once again to my daughter-in-law, TC, was pretty much saying the same thing that me and Professor was talking about before I talked to you, even the executive. I said, you know, it's just so funny that, you know, he gets over to Oakland, he gets what he wants, they pay him the money that he wants to get paid, they rectify the helmet situation, and this dude's still not happy. So I'm like, okay.
Because he don't want to be there.
Right. So then I thought to myself, okay, at this point in time, we see these type of players, you know what I'm saying, going through the shit that we're going through, you know what I'm saying, more too often. You know what I'm saying? Like they're never satisfied. They're prima donnas. They don't want to be in the situation that they're in. They just want to be difficult because they can. You know what I mean? So I'm sitting there and I'm wondering. I'm like, okay, maybe this dude is acting out because he doesn't really want to be there. But then when you do something as egregious as calling people out their names, you know what I'm saying, and calling them racial slurs, then I said, okay, maybe this dude is just crazy. But then when I thought about it, after he got signed, I said, maybe this dude is playing all along. You know what I'm saying? I said, and I was telling Professor, I said, that's a big gamble to take. And Professor was like, it's a big gamble, but it's a sure bet. And I thought about that, too. I'm like, I don't know how sure of a bet that really could be, because it could, you know, sure bets can backfire as well. But I was just sitting here thinking, I said, okay, maybe he ain't as crazy as we think he is. He's just
it's a sure bet because the plan was already in motion.
Gotcha.
Yep.
But that was before I knew that. You know what I mean? That's why I was like, I don't know. But like you said, he got what he wanted. So, hey. But, you know.
And
now, like it's,
that's the part that's kind of hilarious about it is that, you know, the people, especially Steelers fans, they wanted Antonio Brown to suffer. They wanted him to suffer. They were pissed. Oh, well. You're sure he is going to be happier than you are this season?
The plan was to go to Oakland and see how that franchise would draft, what type of pursuit they would handle in free agency, and what type of team they would be able to build around Antonio Brown. And if the end result of that was a potential playoff-bound team, then AB's camp would have been fine. The end result of that was Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, Vontaze Perfect, and I'm out. See y'all later. not putting my life on the line, and I'm on the wrong side of 30, just to lay down some roots in Oakland, to have to pick up and relocate and lay down some roots in Vegas, mm-hmm. behind an iffy quarterback who can't get me the ball. And this is my offensive line is Colton Miller. Like, come on, nobody can stay healthy. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, at the end of the day, that's what it was. He said, mm-hmm. you know what? What's the best way to do it? I contacted the experts. This is what they said. And he said, I'm out.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Any last words, Professor, before I move on? Before I move on.
Nope.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to go ahead and recap the scores from yesterday's games. The Los Angeles Rams beat the Carolina Panthers 30-27, and the Washington Redskins, who were up 17-0. Damn. And the Eagles came back and beat them 32-27. Buffalo Bills 17. Right. Buffalo Bills beat the New York Jets 17-16. The Falcons lose to the Vikings 12-28. The Ravens slacked the Miami Dolphins 59-10. I want to stop at this game real quick because I want to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. And you laughing, Professor, because you already know where the hell I'm going. I want to talk to those out there who are listening to this show right now. And I just want to let you know. And yes, I'm going to put it out there first because the first thing I'm going to hear is, well, it was the Miami Dolphins. Yes, we know the Miami Dolphins are some shit. We know they suck. Okay? I get it. They're still the NFL
team.
Definitely
ain't going to the game.
They suck nonetheless. I am sick of time of those out there in TV land and radio land and whatever land that you are in. Lamar Jackson can. I'm going to say it again. He can throw the ball from the pocket. I don't want to hear nobody
else.
I've
been saying this shit the whole time. I've been trying to say this.
That Lamar Jackson cannot throw the ball from the pocket. Yesterday has proven to all the naysayers that his ass can throw the ball from the pocket as well as use his legs to get out of problems. So he's just not your typical African-American quarterback with fast legs and you can get out of the pocket if he sees trouble. No, he can read a defense.
He's such an incredible athlete.
Exactly. He can read a defense and he knows how to use progressions. So that shit stops now. Yes, I know it's the Dolphins.
I don't know why anybody ever had. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Come on, man.
And I say this because, Gary, this about me, you know. If you don't know nothing else, you know during a college football season, every year since we've been doing this damn show, I've been able to call you and tell you who the hell was going to win the Heisman before the Heisman voting had been begun.
Yep. That's Professor's expertise. Yep, absolutely.
Every year, I call him like, hey. When it was Cam Newton's year, I said, hey, look here. You need to turn the TV on. Turn the TV to this channel. Hey, what's going on? I said, I'm about to show you who's going to win the Heisman this year.
Yeah, there you did. Between
he said,
you and me.
He said, where is he from?
Auburn.
I said, he's from Auburn.
Yep.
He's from Auburn.
Yep.
He was like, what? Auburn? I said, yeah, Cam Newton. What the fuck? I never even heard this motherfucker. I said, yo, turn your TV on.
No, you must stop making fun of me.
I said, yo, turn the TV on.
But let me get the rest of these games, though, Professor. I got, because you go on forever. I got to get the rest of these games. The Chiefs beat the Jaguars 40-26. The Titans beat the Browns 43-13. Okay, I'm not going to touch on that one. We'll come back to that one. 24-30, the Colts lose to the Chargers. The Bengals lose to the Seahawks 20-21. The 49ers beat the Bucks 31-17. My New York Football Giants got beat by the Cowboys 35-17. The Lions lose. And no, the Lions tied. I apologize. To the Arizona Cardinals. Now, that game was interesting. 27-27, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, shout out to my man, Mr. John Smithson.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, I think I reached out to him And I don't think he responded. I think I reached out to him. You know, I don't want to say that for sure. But the Black and Yellow loses to the Clam Chowders. New England
Patriots. Black and Yellow is the Black and Blue.
3-33. Now, we're going to talk about this game. And the reason why I'm going to talk about this game, because this is going to give Professor X Factor much joy and happiness to sit here and talk about how bad the Pittsburgh Steelers got their ass whooped on Sunday Night Football against Tom Brady and these boys. But I got to say this before Professor goes in, and then we get executive's take. You know, when you don't like somebody, even though you have to tell the truth, and then my executive says all the time, tell the truth. Got to tell the truth, okay? As much as I despise number 12, as much as I do, he put on a damn clinic last night that was terrible. And guess what? I hate to even say this shit, but you know what? I gotta speak the truth. I gotta tell you what my eyeball for. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, yo, you know, it's one thing that we all know that the Steelers secondary is some trash. We know that. That's not a secret.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
What I could not understand.
If it was a secret before, it damn sure ain't a secret now.
This is what I don't understand, though. This is what I don't understand for the life of me. You know, you got Josh Gordon on the field. You got Julian Edelman on the field. You know you got these guys on the field. And my thing is, okay, you start from what you start with and all that good stuff, and I get that. But to me, the Steelers looked like they did no type of second half adjustments at all. It just looked like they was like, you know what, we roll with or whatever the hell we roll with, and that's just the way it is. And I'm sitting there like, Tomlin, what the hell are you? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Mike. Maybe he gave the authority to the defensive coordinator to say, you know what, you do what you do. But as a leader of a team, I think I had to step my ass up in there and say, okay, look, we're going to make a couple of changes around here. They look like they made no changes at all. Professor, to that, you say what? Go right ahead and just let it. I know you already are. Go ahead.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to yell and scream and holler like I usually do, because I feel like the students aren't learning when I'm yelling and screaming. So, I'm going to say this, okay? When you look at the way Pittsburgh loses to New England all the time because they don't – I'll be honest with you. In that division, in that AFC North division, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The Baltimore Ravens always gave New England more problems defensively than any other team I could ever hear in the league.
Absolutely.
Out of that division.
Absolutely correct.
The reason for that is this, and I know this is Pittsburgh, I get it. I know you had the great Dick LeBeau and all of that good shit, but Baltimore ran multiple defensive packages.
Mm.
They did not just run a 3-4 or a 3-4 under or over or a 4-3 or over and under or a nickel 3-3-6 or 3-3-5. They didn't just run. They had several defensive packages. That was a game where Brady had to use his brain consistently. Don't mention the Colts to me, because the Colts wasn't a team where he had to use his brain. The Colts was a team where he had to outscore them. That's what those matches were about. Who was going to score the most points? Typically, whoever had the ball last won that game.
Gotcha.
But you can't match up with New England in the box when you're running a 3-4. You can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because, one, Pittsburgh, you don't have the corners to cover any of New England's wide receivers. Any of them. Before, before, when New England still had Gronk on the field, you couldn't find a linebacker to cover Gronkowski for shit. And the best pass-covering linebacker that you did have, on two occasions, you got rid of those people before you should have. One was Joey Porter. The other was Lawrence Timmons. Okay. Well, I'm just going to map this shit out for you in real plain English so you can understand what the fuck I'm saying. So what happens is this. Gronkowski will always run a seam. Tom Brady needs to try to fit that ball into Gronkowski between the safety and the linebacker underneath.
Underneath.
But when that happens in Pittsburgh, when that used to happen in Pittsburgh, you know what that meant? That meant that either Ryan Clark or Troy Polamalu was not given over-the-top coverage on the receiver on the corner.
Mm.
And he had one. He knew if the safety comes down to help with the tight end, I got one-on-one coverage on the outside.
Yep.
Your offensive, your D linemen, they're gap fillers. That's what you used them for in your 3-4 scheme, because you used your linebackers to rush the holes to put pressure on the quarterback. Problem was this. Your linebackers were fast enough to do that, but they weren't big enough or strong enough to move New England's offensive linemen out of the way. And it didn't help you any that Tom Brady gets rid of the ball in less than 2.5 seconds on average. So you're blitzing. You won't come up and bump the receivers at the line, which if you at least did that, you could at least throw the timing in that offense off. It is a West Coast offense. It is primarily based on timing. If you don't bump that receiver and you give him a free release, he's going to cook your ass all day long, because the receivers in New England run what they call option routes. If the corner plays your inside shoulder, run a fade. If the corner plays your outside shoulder, run a slant or a post. You're not good enough to beat them.
That's just the bottom line, right? You're not good enough to beat them.
You're not good enough to beat them.
That's the bottom line. Executive, I got to ask you your opinion, man, on the Patriots-Steelers game last night. What do you think happened? What do you think went wrong in this damn debacle of a damn game, 33-3?
So, let's just say this.
Okay.
Before we start attacking
long coverages,
before we start attacking the Pittsburgh Steelers for not making a second half adjustment.
Okay.
Let's keep it real.
Okay.
What could they have done?
Every team who lost yesterday didn't make second half adjustments. Except one team. There's only one team that lost yesterday that made second half adjustments. And that was the Arizona Cardinals. No other team made second half adjustments.
Right.
The Arizona Cardinals did. They said, whoa, this doesn't work. Throw that away. Now you know it hurts to laugh, but
so, I'm trying not to make you laugh, baby, but I know where you're going. I'm laughing.
Every time I blink, I see Cliff Kingsbury's face. Like, oh shit, this ain't college. they hit for real. Oh, that hurt. Ooh, that hurt. Ooh, 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 ooh. Anyway, no team made second half adjustments, not just Pittsburgh. Okay?
I got you.
One team made adjustments, and one team couldn't make adjustments even if they wanted to, and that's Miami. What are they going to do? Say, hey, replacement, to get in there? Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. I feel like Miami looked like it was a replacement year in the 80s.
Man, what? They damn sure
did. Oh, shit. I mean, and it was me, you, and Professor on offense. I was blind, not tackle. You was tight end. That was quarterback.
Oh,
that was, and ain't none of us did no conditioning before the game. The quarterback said, ready. We was like, nah, hold up.
Wait a minute.
The commentators was like, they called timeout on the first play. And it's all history was made. So Pittsburgh came. Whoever picked Pittsburgh to win the division, I still laugh.
I said
Baltimore was going to kick that ass, and even though I was asleep during that game, oh Lord, did I not tell you Baltimore was going to do it? Now, it was against Miami, but that's not the point.
Right.
The point is that if they only beat Miami by 12, we would be saying it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the fact that they beat Miami by 49 means that they can beat a regular team by two touchdowns.
Exactly. That's why I said I know it's Miami, but at the end of the day, there's 59 points, still 59 points. But go ahead. That's exactly right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean, that's the end of it. Ain't no point in wasting time on talking about Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh don't even want to talk about Pittsburgh. You see Roethlisberger's face? It looked like his ex broke up with him and started dating his brother.
Oh,
shit. Hey, I ain't going to lie. Hey, Mike Tomlin looked sick on the sideline, bro. Like, he ate some bad fish.
He damn sure ate some bad fish because.
I mean, he looked like he had, like, Minamata disease or some shit on the side. I was like, what's the matter, Mike?
Juju looked like doo-doo.
Yes, he did. Yes,
doo-doo Smith-Schuster.
Yes, he did. I thought, like, now on the AFC North fan page, I was like, I thought Odell Beckham was the answer. I thought Juju was.
Odell didn't have a bad game.
Need Antonio. I thought you didn't need Antonio. I'll tell you this much. If you still had Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, you would have put up more than 3 points.
I promise you that.
You can tell me all day now that they ain't in your team's uniform no more. You don't need. Like the one dude said, one guy on the page said, I wish people would stop talking about this bum Antonio Brown. He's not important. I said, sadly, I don't think you felt that way when he was in your uniform. I don't think you felt that way when he was on your roster. He said, you're right. I know I'm right. I don't need you to tell me. I'm telling you that you didn't feel that way when he was on your roster.
I don't need you to tell me.
This is my classroom. I don't need you to tell me shit. Matter of fact, take your ass down to Oshak Hennessy's office.
Oshak Hennessy's office.
Right there. Like, what did you just...
Oh, God.
Are you trying to teach the teacher? All right. Look at your ass.
Man. But, other things going on around the league, man. Let me just go ahead and put out here before we talk.
Ain't nothing else going on around the league.
Well, no, you're stupid. Before we talk about these games tonight, Eagles D tackle Jackson has significant foot injury. Nick Foles is on IR, but the Jags said they expect him to be back this season. I don't know how that's going to happen, though, but. Shit happens. You know, they might be able to, wide receiver is still in Shepherd place in concussion protocol. And wide receiver.
Good. Out of all the shit on that list, I'm glad. I hope his ass is completely knocked the fuck out for week two. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. This is why. The reason why is maybe you'll finally be forced to play giant football. You know, I formations, two tight ends, not
tight
this three wide out split bullshit.
I didn't even want to get into that, but I'm
who
with
the
you.
Fuck do you think you are?
Yes.
Who do you think you are? Trip wide? Who?
Why?
Who? Who? New York football giants play trip wide.
That's a whole other conversation.
You pull that shit out on Madden, you don't even see a trip wide option.
And also wide receiver Colts Devin Funches has a broken clavicle as well. Now he's also in IR.
Wait, who? Devin Funches?
Devin Funches, yep.
Wait. What team he on?
No, he's with the Colts.
I had to make sure. Remember, I'm on medication. So.
Okay, I got you.
I gotta make sure I gotta make sure people ain't been traded. in less than a week, they lost
their they lost their quarterback. They doing bad, man. They ain't doing too hot. They ain't doing too hot.
That's all right. I ain't gonna say nothing. At least they almost won their game.
What was the score of their game?
What you talking about? The Indianapolis game?
It was like 1 point or 2 points.
Ooh.
It was like 23 or 25.
Who did they play?
Yeah, 30 to 24. They played the Chargers. 30-24.
Okay, no, that's right. Wait, that went into overtime. That's why. It was 24-24, and it went into overtime. And I told you the Chargers were some bums.
Yeah.
But
hey, I hear you.
I'm trying to tell you, don't forget that I said that boy, that quarterback they got over there, I think he's serviceable.
Who?
Jacoby Brissett, NC State, Wolfpack.
Brissett, I think he's serviceable.
He ain't gonna be out of service with that without definitely.
I mean, he ain't no Andrew Luck or no shit, but
oh no, absolutely not. But yeah, I got you.
But
I
you
got
know what I mean,
you.
But you know.
I got what you're going. 7:55. We got 5 minutes to the show is over. But son, let me just go ahead.
You're not going to go to the archive? I missed last week.
Yo, well, I mean, look. Oh, you're killing me, Petey. You're killing me. Okay, I'll tell you what.
They was killing me, too.
Shut up. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:56 p.m., and we're not going to be on the air. In 4 minutes. However, if you go on the website, if I'm not mistaken, you're still able to listen to the show on the website.
Yes.
So,
yes,
so,
you are.
So
archive.
Okay, so
give everybody the website.
That's right.
Well, you know what? Okay, the website is, matter of fact, shit. Because I try not to, unless it's me. You know what I mean? But in this case, yes, it's www.blogtalkradio.com. That's what you do. And then click on the link that says Locker Room Talk Radio, and then you're able to listen to the rest of the show. So, okay, so this is what we're going to do, executive. But because I got some business I got to handle, I'm going to give you 30 minutes, baby, okay? I'm going to give you 30.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah, because we ain't even get to my damn topic. Shit.
Okay, well, wait a minute, damn it. You just can't start changing shit. Hold on. Tonight's game, okay, we already know who we picked because everybody picked Denver and everybody picked Houston. But let me get the scores of tonight's game, starting with you, executive. What's the score of tonight's game with Houston and the Texans? I mean, the Saints.
The score?
Yes, the score.
It's going to be close, but no cigar.
Okay.
With Houston having the close and the Saints being no cigar. He did pick Houston for me, right?
Okay,
you got me down for Houston, right?
Yeah, he got you down for Houston.
Make sure. Come on, man. Houston by 6. I can't give you the five.
Houston by 6. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm just gonna put by 6. So
oh, you want to actually know?
I want a prediction. What's the score between?
Oh,
the Texans
yeah,
and
that's
the
that gambling stuff. I don't gamble, so I didn't get it. My bad. Okay. 24-18. No, that sounds stupid. 27-21. No, that don't sound legit. 34-28. Now that sounds too high for a Monday night. Okay, so
you want to think about it and I get back to you?
Yeah, definitely, because I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah, let me get back to you. Give me a score prediction tonight's game. Houston,
you talking to me?
Yes, you. Houston, New Orleans.
27-10, Houston. 27-10, Houston.
Yeah, 27-10, Houston.
27-10. Damn.
Yep. 27 to 10. You know what? In this game, I think it's going to be a little higher than that. I'm going to say 20. I am. I'm going to say 28 to 20.
I even know why I gave that score.
Okay. I'm giving it 28 to 21, Houston. That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Did you figure it out, executive?
I'm either thinking 24-20 or 27-20, Houston.
Okay.
Or maybe 27-24 or something.
No. Either 24-20 or 27-20. Either way, New Orleans ain't scoring more than 20.
Okay.
And Houston gonna win.
Yeah. So you want me to put that, what, 24-20?
Yeah, do that.
Okay, 24-20, Houston.
No, make it 20. Make it 23.
God.
Make it 23.
Okay, well, while you think about that, let me go to the next one at 10:20 p.m., which is Denver and Oakland. Professor, everybody picked Denver across the board, but you give me your score prediction with Denver and Oakland. What's the score?
I think AB picked Denver, too.
I mean, honestly, I really think Oakland is probably only going to score 3 points.
Damn, okay.
Damn, you're giving them three? That's,
hey,
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm going to give them is three. With,
right.
with Bradley
that's
Chubb,
nice. That's very nice
with
of
Bradley
you.
Chubb and Von Miller rushing off the edge, all them some bitches get is 3 points. That's what I think.
That is very nice
Denver,
of you, Professor.
I could see Denver putting up 24. I'll say 24-3, Denver.
24-3, Denver.
You're damn right. That's what I said. Yes.
Wait. Is it in Denver?
No, it's in Oakland.
Oh, it's in
Doesn't
Oakland.
Matter.
So now no Mile High. You mean pretty
Mile High?
No, I'm a.
Doesn't matter.
I think Flacco gonna go off and slack off. He ain't even gonna slack off. I think it might be 32-6.
Shit! Oh, no, you.
Wait! No! 31.
No, you're still being nice. Wait, 31-6? I don't see Flacco doing that.
Actually, no, because that's four touchdowns. He's okay. Three touchdowns and three field goals. That's 30 points.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I honestly believe that tonight is one of them nights where Denver's defense scores a touchdown.
No, see, and you know what's crazy? I'm using that on the flip side. I think that the Raiders are gonna get more than 3 points. I think their defense will score a touchdown. That's why I'm gonna say. At the end of the day, because I don't see Flacco getting 30 anything. I could care less if he was in Mile High or it never rains in Southern California. But the fact of the matter is this. In this game, I'm still picking Denver, but I see them running the ball before I see them doing anything else. So what
I
I'm
wonder how
say,
many flags Vontaze Burfict gets tonight.
Hey, man,
hey,
I hear you.
I'm going to say you got me down Denver 30. And Oakland 6?
Yes.
Cool.
Yep. I got 24-10. Because I think the defense for the Raiders will score a touchdown before their offense will. So I'm going to give them 10 points. 24-10. Denver.
Yeah, well, we all agree Oakland ain't scoring no more than 13 points.
No, yeah, absolutely. I'll give you that one. Yeah, we can definitely agree on that.
I can tell you, Oakland ain't going to be shit till they go to Vegas.
But that was the plan, though, right?
Well, that was the plan.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason why Oakland got rid of AB so quickly and so easily is because they saw Miami getting rid of everything, and they was like, oh, hell no. We're going to get the first-round pick. Miami was like, oh, no, you didn't.
Is that what they said? Oh, no, you didn't.
So the Dolphins and the Raiders are fighting for first place. They just keep getting rid of people until they have the worst team. So all of them little speeches you see Rudy doing Hard Knocks, I ain't seen them, but I know about them. Yep, they was full of shit.
I'm going to tell you right now, man. Yesterday, I was trying to find what player that I was most impressed with yesterday with these games going on, I'm going to tell you right now that the player that I was the – well, I got to say one
thing. It was Lamar Jackson, so you can't even
yeah.
– if you say anything out of your mouth, it's Lamar Jackson.
1A, 1B. Yes, Lamar Jackson was the 1A, because that's what I was going to say. But the other one I got to give love to, and I know he's in our division, but that damn DeSean Jackson yesterday showed his natural ass. He – look. Is what Philly has been missing for a long time. And I know the Washington Redskins looked at that performance yesterday and said, why in the hell did we do do to keep him on our squad? Because he torched, yo, yeah, what my man Roy Jones said, y'all must have forgot. Yeah, y'all must have forgot about DeSean Jackson because he's still fast as hell. And he torched him twice in the end zone. Like, it was nothing. So, shout out to DeSean Jackson and Lamar Jackson. Look, the Jackson boys, Jackson brothers, two Jacksons yesterday, showing off. But I just to let everybody know right now, this game is 7-3 right now, Houston. Houston is up 7-3 with 9:22 in the second quarter with New Orleans having the ball. So, for those who are listening right now. Let me ask you a question about New Orleans, man. What y'all think about New Orleans? What's your prediction about them, executive or professor? Either which one of you. Either one of you can jump in. What's your prediction with New Orleans?
First of all, how about them Falcons? What? like as many people in the world right now want to talk about my diet, first of all, does everybody agree to agree? The problem wasn't the quarterback, once again.
No, absolutely
the problem
not.
Was not the quarterback,
absolutely
once
not.
Again.
Absolutely
okay.
not.
But Eli Manning doesn't have all of these weapons and genius coaches on the sidelines like Matt Ryan does, and they scored 12 points? And they're supposed to be Super Bowl contenders? So miss me with the bullshit. But yeah, now your question about the Saints. I think the Saints make the playoffs and they're one and done.
One and done.
Yeah,
so
I don't.
I
think I don't believe the hype anymore. I think that's what it is. I don't believe the hype anymore. I think that they're always, you know how sometimes you're just always so close that you just realize that you're never going to get it. Okay, here's a good example. Woody Harrelson in White Men Can't Jump, trying to dunk.
Okay.
To me, that's what the Saints look like, trying to get to the Super Bowl every year.
Okay.
They look like Billy Hope.
What?
Now, tell me y'all disagree. Tell me y'all disagree with that. You know every time they get to the conference finals, it's like they're going against the Suzuki brothers. and for whatever reason, their defense looked like they're trying to find out food to start with the letter Q.
Wow. Yeah, start off. I can't believe you must have my money, Billy. Who is it?
No, you're fucked up, Billy. You're fucked up.
The funny thing is, it's funny how realistic that shit is, all because of her Jeopardy dreams. You expected this man to take your GED recipient ass seriously about going on Jeopardy?
Hey, that's because she know about quail and quiche and all the foods that start with the letter Q.
The letter Q. I know that's right. And she won it, though.
Yeah.
She won it.
God damn. Only in America.
Hey, only in America. But, yo, hey Professor, I got to ask you about this game. I know I just asked you about New Orleans, though, but I got to ask you about this one. What's your thoughts about this Green Bay-Chicago game that happened last Thursday, man? What the hell happened? What was it that Chicago could not get over the hump? Why do you think it was such a low-scoring game?
Handcuffs.
Explain.
Handcuffs. They have to take the handcuffs off of Mitchell Trubisky. What the fuck did you draft him for?
I hear you.
If you're not going to take the handcuffs off of him. You notice when they finally did take the handcuffs off of him in Chicago, they had moved the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to take the damn handcuffs off of him. Why you got him handcuffed? What, do you not trust him? I know Pittsburgh doesn't trust John Connor. Now, with that little bit of amount of carry, you won't trust that motherfucker. Shut up. Stop lying. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
And if you use that knowledge, then clearly, clearly the Giants don't trust Saquon Barkley with 11.
Man, what? Come on, man. I just told Professor
I'm
this.
Done, bro.
You know what? No. I think they trust Saquon. I don't think the Giants trust their line.
The line was fine.
Yeah, the line was fine. It wasn't bad. That's what I'm saying. It's that defense,
yep.
Man. Put us in a bad predicament yesterday. Man, look, man. I don't want to go there. I don't want to take over.
But they do. They have. But in terms of Chicago, Green Bay, Chicago's defense looks really, really good. They look a lot better when the offense is able to sustain a drive and keep the defense from being on the field 65%, 70% of the damn game. Because when they get tired, don't really give a damn who you got in your defensive lineup. A tired man is a tired man. He's tired.
Right.
Gatorade is some oxygen. So you start seeing in the first quarter, before the first quarter was over, motherfuckers is walking around with their hands on their hips, breathing all heavy. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, well they doing their job, they were still doing their thing. Green Bay went the whole first quarter without a single first down.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, Jimmy damn Graham.
But you know what? This is what tells me, yo, executive said it earlier about New Orleans. He said he's not buying anymore. Is that what you said about New Orleans? I'm not buying no more.
I'm not buying that they are Super Bowl champions. They are still contenders as far as the definition of playoff bound, which is the only thing that makes you a contender. If you have a team that is capable of getting you to the playoffs, then you are a contender. But they're not Super Bowl bound because every year it's something. Now I get it. Whether it's some, you know, one year it's their fault, the next year it's not fault, the next year they get cheated. But every year, y'all are not even making it to the Super Bowl to lose the Super Bowl. Y'all just ain't getting there. Every year you're losing more veterans to, you know, to salary hits, and the ones that stay are 1 year older than the previous year.
Right.
Like I'm this is it. It's now or put it to you like this: when the Cowboys don't make it again, and the Saints don't win it all, Sean Payton will be the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. I don't want that to happen, but I hear what you're saying. But you know what? That statement
you didn't hear me laughing and giggling. I don't want it either.
I hear you. But you know what? I feel the same way about Green Bay right now. I'm not buying anymore. You know what I mean? Because even though
they don't have anything.
Right. The Bears' defense, as great as they are, you know what I mean? And I got to give Rodgers credit for even going against that wonderful defense. But at the same time, if you barely went by them by 3 points, you snuck by them, now everybody else in that division got tape on you. I mean, they've been had tape on you. But now they really know, and they can concentrate on all your weakness because, like you said, Vaughn, they got no one. No one. I don't see them surviving the rest of the season, man.
In order for Green Bay to win games, Aaron Rodgers is expected to pull a rabbit out of his ass every game.
Yeah, that's what happened. Right. That's not going to happen. Yeah, yeah. I just don't see it.
Just doesn't have it. They don't have any rabbits. They don't have any rabbits left. They got no rabbits. There ain't no more Jordy Nelsons to make that late game clutch catch.
Right.
You don't have Diddley. Or in the words of my favorite rapist, you have nothing.
What is that?
You don't have shit. Your whole game plan is Aaron Rodgers, drop back, find somebody open. With what separation in the secondary?
Hey,
even the touchdown Jimmy Graham caught, he was triple covered.
Yeah, yeah. Professor, I got to ask you this, man. And I'm afraid to even ask you this. Executives, just know that he's about to lose his mind when I ask him this. I'm looking at the stats on this Pittsburgh Steelers game. I had to go back to it, man. I had to. Because I know you don't like James Conner, but I'm looking at this shit. James Conner had 10 carries for 21 yards, man. What the hell? It's like, this is what I mean by the second half adjustment. What did they do? They didn't do it.
Huh?
How you only have 21 yards on the ground, son? Like, how you do that?
Huh?
What was they think? Look, okay, I'm just trying to look at the amount of carries that they had on the ground. They had 10 carries for James Conner. One Big Ben, he ran for one carry for 7 yards, and Jalen Samuels had 2 carries. All combined together, their offense only had 13 carries on the ground.
How many yards of rushing did they have combined? Doesn't matter.
2 yards on the ground.
James Conner is exactly who the fuck I told you he was. When was the last time you seen a...
Not making it hard. You're making it very hard.
look. When was the last time you seen a New England defense shut down the run like that?
No, hardly ever.
I can tell you the last time you saw it. Willie McGinnis was in the lineup.
Okay. Which was forever.
And even then, they weren't that good at. Even then, they weren't that good at stopping the run.
Absolutely.
He averaged 2.1 yards per carry. I wonder if Le'Veon Bell would have got 2.1 yards. Never mind. I don't. You know,
no, he would not have. No, he would have not. That's
I mean, dude, James Conner is not. No, he's not the answer, man. And they don't trust him. They don't trust that motherfucker. Watch Pittsburgh take a running back in the draft.
They have no choice at this junction. They got
no choice. No. Watch Pittsburgh trade for Melvin Gordon.
That's a possibility.
Melvin Gordon wants too much money. I doubt it. See what you got to remember about Pittsburgh? They don't like to pay.
Yeah, they don't like to pay nobody.
What you have to remember about Pittsburgh more than they don't like to pay is having a losing season for the first time in over a decade.
What they're gonna have.
Yeah, but let them come out of September 0-4, and Melvin Gordon still ain't played. And ain't been paid? What? They might work some shit out.
I'm going to tell you now. By the time week 4 get here, Melvin Gordon is going to be off the table.
Okay.
He's going to be off the table. Did Melvin Gordon even play week 1? Did Melvin Gordon play week 1?
No.
No, he's not. He said he's not coming back until week 8 or week 9.
And the Chargers went to overtime.
Correct.
With the Colts?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
But you know what the funny thing is?
Okay.
You know what the funny thing is?
What's that?
All the shit that we're talking about running backs, we haven't even discussed the stupidest running back situation of all day yesterday.
Which one was that?
Which was?
Adrian Peterson being healthy inactive?
Hey, I don't even want to talk about it.
Well,
I don't even want to talk about it.
You got 10 minutes, Dave. Go ahead, look,
I live in Hampton, Virginia, and I got a ton of friends of mine that are Redskins fans. And one of them posted on Facebook yesterday, why the fuck am I a Redskins fan? That's what he posted.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm sure that there's a legitimate reason for it. I don't know what it is.
And now Sunday, he's the starting running back.
I bet the fuck he is.
Okay, I don't understand. If he was healthy enough to play, why didn't he play week one? I'm not understanding.
Gary Ward, that's the entire point of this topic.
Yeah, I got you, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
asking. Well, I know you got me. That's just my response, because I'm too bad.
You know what I
got
to do? So you know what I got to do? I got to do
that. It is.
I got to try to get a hold of Brian Maker, man. I need to find out what the hell's going on. I'm going to reach out to B later on. I'm going to find out what the hell's going on. I'm going to get to the bottom of
it. It doesn't make sense.
They treated him like he was Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he even?
It almost sounds like Adrian Peterson said, "Hey, before the game, I'm going to kneel."
He didn't even dress yesterday.
Yeah, he was out there in a t-shirt and some shorts that the mother did. Yeah, he didn't even dress.
Healthy, inactive for the first time in his Hall of Fame career.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I need to find out.
Oh, God, yeah. Bicycle Man, please don't ride out here. You stupid. Oh, okay.
Hey, man, you look, you got to let people know, man, that you're friendly to something. You can't be out here knocking on people over or bicycles.
No, not me. I'm at a red light in the turning lane, but the lanes next to me had a green light, and the speed limit out here is 50 miles an hour. He riding his bike across the damn intersection. A pink beach cruiser, his crackhead ass, getting ready to get killed out here.
Oh, man.
Somebody out here in Greenville, South Carolina, come get your goddamn uncle. come get him. Shit.
They go get the family member, huh?
He's about to die. He's about to die.
That's funny.
Jesus Christ. Save us, Lord.
Well, right now, Houston,
yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to tell you what running back I was impressed with. Hold on real quick.
Houston is still leading New Orleans 7-3, and Houston right now is currently in the red zone. Go ahead.
Like, yeah, I was saying, like, I was impressed with Mark Ingram's performance yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he showed his ass.
I think was dragging motherfuckers down the field. I'm like, woo.
Whoa. He showed out.
Whoa.
Yeah, he showed
hey,
out.
Hey. Mark Ingram. Gotta love it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it.
That motherfucker Mark Ingram was like dying.
That is not exactly what he did yesterday.
You know what's funny? You look at the offense that they run in Baltimore. It looks eerily similar to what Mark Ingram ran at Alabama. It's a single back set, two wide receivers, sometimes three. Like, dude, he looked completely comfortable. He did not look uncomfortable at all yesterday. Not at all. He ran the ball like he had been in that offense his entire NFL career. That's what he looked like. I'm trying to figure out.
And
the same
way Lamar Jackson looked like a 8-year future Hall of Famer vet.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean,
he looked like he was rolling out. He was out. He was running, throwing on the pocket, throwing out, throwing while rolling out like Rodgers. He was gunslinging like Breeze.
I wonder how much of the threat of Lamar Jackson's legs allowed wide receivers to be wide open downfield, like coverages were completely blown at the second level.
Yep.
Because if you're afraid that a quarterback is going to take off and run,
yep.
you're going to bite up to the line, because especially if the quarterback is Lamar Jackson. In the open field with the ball in his hand running, you don't want some problems because he'll embarrass you. But I don't – like I was telling Gary, I don't know if anybody actually watched Lamar Jackson play when he was in college. I'm not talking about looking at his highlights. Everybody looks good on their highlight tape.
On their highlights, right.
I'm talking about actually watching.
No, not everybody. Eli Apple still looked like the chick.
Sure, yeah. But I mean, I'm talking about actually watching a game from start to finish of him playing. Look here. For those of you that don't know, Lamar Jackson crushed the NCAA while he was at Louisville. He crushed him. He crushed him. Even in games that he lost, his numbers look really, really good.
Touchdown, Texans. Update.
Touchdown, Texas, yep, 14-3, ladies and gentlemen. Houston Texans just scored with 1:47 left in the second. Just let everybody
know. Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Nostradamus.
He said Nostradamus.
I'm going to tell you why I said what I said about Houston. Because they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney. But I think everybody is now looking at Houston like they don't have to block the end on that side because it ain't Jadeveon Clowney, so they're not paying that much attention to him.
Yeah, okay.
That end that replaces Jadeveon Clowney has potential this year to have a whale of a season. Because don't nobody know who the fuck he is.
He is, exactly.
They will by week 6.
Yeah, long.
So, yeah, they'll know about it.
Right.
How many times has Drew Brees been hit? If either of you had that information,
no, you know what?
He's been hit 9 times tonight already. He's been touched.
Okay.
Wait. And also, let me drop this: for the first time in the last 150 plus red zone attempts, he got intercepted in the first quarter.
Well,
you see it. Intercepted right here, right now. Drew Brees. 12 for 17 for 123, averaging 7.2 yards with one pick. Yep.
That's
damn.
Right. And that pick was in the red zone.
Waffle House,
and that's
right
the first time he threw a pick in over 150-plus attempts in the red zone.
Oh, wow. Well, I remember when Emmitt Smith had carried the ball 50 million times without fumbling and then got popped and the ball came out. I was like, oh, shit. Happens every day.
What'd you say, Professor?
Kind of like Saquon Barkley on his first play.
Exactly.
Happens every day. Yeah. Hey, Drew Brees, guess what? Tom Brady is better than you.
Yo,
he is better than you. I know what stings. Better than you. Come and knock on that door. Let's be waiting.
Come and knock on that door. Because I'm better than you.
See. Oh. that look, man. I'm riding past Clemson University. Hey, Tigers.
Hey. Oh, my God. Okay. Here
after
we
what
go.
Y'all did to my damn, after what y'all did a couple years ago to my Seminoles, I ought to go set fire to the damn college football team's dorm.
Don't do that. I ain't got no money.
See how you like that?
I ain't got no money. Your ass will be sitting the hell there.
They'll just think they're going to see a black man running across campus. They're going to think I'm one of the football players to get out the dorm in time.
Rashid Johnson, get back in your room. That's not
Russian.
Well, they all look alike.
I ain't gonna lie. Hey.
Real quick, go ahead,
does
Professor.
Does Clemson have a single light-skinned guy on their team? Every black guy on their team is like blue black. They're crispy black. Like, they don't have a single light-skinned dude on the team, yo. Everybody is Bernie Mac dark. I'm like, damn. Like, hey.
Yo,
ain't
Wesley Snipes to be a coordinator? Oh, God.
Oh, God. All hail, Dolly.
Yo, you got to get up out of here, man. Make sure you tune in to Locker Room Talk Radio this Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. I want to thank my man, Professor X Factor, my brother Q Drake for coming back on the show, man. Glad to hear his voice. And once again, I'm Coach Jack Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, a.k.a. Silver Lining, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later.
That hair signal making this shit sound like it's 24 hours.